is the Tom Likas Show.
Tom Likas, every man's dad. I love you, Tom.
Now, the host of the Internet's number one call-in show.
Fucking amazing.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at PremiumJob.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to PremiumJob.com. That's PremiumJob.com. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Attorney Adam Sachs steps into the studio live and answers your legal questions. And in this edition of Attorney Adam Sachs, you're going to hear family law attorney Adam Sachs here to talk about divorce, vaginamony, child custody, child support, prenups, postnups, and those ever-popular restraining orders. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not much.
So this dovetails very nicely to what we were talking about before, Tom.
Do tell.
My theory tonight was greed, Tom.
Greed.
Absolutely. You may remember Gordon Gekko told us in Wall Street that greed was good. Remember? It solves everything. It fixes everything.
Yes.
The word I think that scares me the most in the English language is the word perfect. And if you listen to women and you watch any of these talk shows or whatever, The View and that sort of ilk of show, women talk about their perfect life and their perfect wedding and their perfect children and their perfect husband. And I don't know if you know this, Tom, but we're talking in America, 60, 70, 80% of women on antidepressants, okay? And one of the reasons that I believe that is because of this, that instead of accepting, you know, kind of where we grew up, Tom, where you'd have this nice middle-class Levittown life or whatever,
yes.
Nobody wants that anymore. Now you have to be rich, you know? And women don't just want to meet a guy who's stable or is a good guy or is a good provider. They want a rich guy. And I think that the seeking of perfection in life, while very entertaining, if you really expect it, you're going to be miserable. And if you look at most Western American whatever women nowadays, they are exactly that. They are miserable. And that's why they have to take pills to get through the day. Because they're depressed because their husband. Remember the thing you used to say, Tom, about looking across the breakfast table at this sweaty guy scratching his balls, you know? And that's Prince Charming.
Well, that's the best you could do. That drives them nuts.
Oh, well, the problem is the reason that it pisses them off so is because it's true. Yay!
That's right.
Well, so when we talk about entitled and greedy women, in particular like this person we were talking about from Jersey and so forth, you know, it's not like kind of your parents or wonderful that your parents love you so much that they're going to take out a second mortgage to put you through school. You're entitled to it. You expect it. And the attitude of someone who doesn't need to say thank you, I'm amazed at how many dates I've gone on where, think about it, I'm paying for a meal with a woman that is a stranger to me, essentially. And I follow your rule, Tom, $40 maximum. I got all that, okay? But even if it is $40, that's $40 that I worked hard for that I'm handing over to someone I don't know. And, you know, at the very least, I'd hope she'd say thanks. Right? Isn't that the minimum?
Well,
did your parents
would hope
teach you
so.
That?
But chicks nowadays in the United States are so entitled.
Entitled.
They just act like you're supposed to do that, and that's that.
Yeah, well, the problem is that when you get into that kind of a situation and you try to please someone like that, it's never going to work. It doesn't really matter what you do. As hard as you try, it's never going to be enough. And I hate to burst the big bubble, Tom, but we have got to broach this subject, okay? I have had a couple of really, really intense cases lately of guys that married foreign-born women. Now, we talked a little bit about getting with one of these services and getting like a so-called mail-order bride where you go meet her and you bring her over from the other country. That's dangerous because we talked about the immigration aspect of being responsible for her and also just sort of setting the precedent with her that, you know, she moves into your country and your house and you pay for everything. But I have guys who married women that were already here. We have a diverse place that we live, Los Angeles, right? And they were already living here. A lot of them already had green cards. They had gone to school here. And in one particular example, the guy married this woman from Europe, and they had children, and they had a nice life. And she just got a bug up her ass after she had the second child, that she had got to go back to her home country, that she needed to raise the children in her home country, which is a nice country, but that's got nothing to do with this guy living here in California and expecting to raise the kids here with her. And when he wouldn't go back to the home country with her in Europe, she just went without him. Basically, they went on a vacation there to see her family, and she refused to come back. And she kept the kids. And so he's in a mess of a situation now. And you see how one way or another, I mean, this is something that you always throw at the end of a sentence, Tom, like, you know, and this is what you get, you know?
Right.
Well, it's not a joke, man. As carefully as these guys have laid it out, one way or another, this is where it's going. And I talked to a guy last week, Tom. It really made me think of you. He told me that he's been listening to you since he was, you know, 12 or something like that. I can't even say that. And
wow.
He loves you, and you're the greatest, and he knows he's fucking it up, but he's getting married now, you know? And he was talking to me about, you know, how does he protect himself, or how does he get a prenup, you know? And it's like everyone knows where the road is leading, and you're trying to convince yourself or to talk yourself out, like hope against hope, that somehow it's not going to happen to me, and my girl and I, things are different, she's different, and things are special. And you remember our special love in that whole conversation?
Oh, yes.
Well, anyway. Now, Tom, even though you are in the ranch, I understand you have the system in front of you or whatever.
Yes.
Do you see, did my guy come through? I have someone I wanted to be a guest on our show today.
Oh, you have a caller for us.
Yes, I do.
Yes, he's here. His name is Lance.
Okay.
I'll put Lance on. There he goes.
Let me tell you a little bit about Lance. Lance, are you there?
All right. Yeah, he's here.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Lance. Thanks for calling in. So
hey.
Lance was, is a caller, Tom, and I know him through the show, of course. He responded to my very effective advertising on your show. And I think Lance wants to tell this story in his own words. Lance is not a guy in his 20s. So this is very universal. This is a guy, Lance is closer, Tom, to our age. And I think that more than anything, Lance was motivated to being a nice guy and doing the right thing and being decent to his ex-wife and so forth during their marriage.
And nobody
and
told
after.
Lance that no good deed goes unpunished. Nobody said that.
Tom, that is no joke. No good deed goes unpunished. And what I might think you might find interesting, I'm going to let you explain this in one second. But the one thing that kills me about Lance's case, Tom, which is just absolutely devastating, you know, when you were talking about this, and this is something that goes to one of Eddie Murphy's old routines. He said something like, you know, you got to give a woman half, you know, and if you have $5 and you got to give someone $2.50, you know, you don't feel so good about it, you know. What was that? Tom, I think we're in your old studio, Tom. Remember you used to the kennel next door?
Is that the X over there? What is that?
Lance, what about the quiet environment that we were promised?
Sorry about that. I mean, I live alone except for my two girlfriends. And they're two dogs.
All right, let's try to control them, please. So really want to hear what you have to say, Lance. It's important. But the really important thing, Tom, guys think going into a divorce, they know they're going to lose half. They figure they got to give half to the wife, you know, everything. But women don't want half, Tom. Women want everything. And Lance's ex actually wanted more per month than he even was earning. Did you get that?
What? I heard you. I can't believe it, but I heard you.
So we're talking more than 100%. So Lance could work the whole month, give her all the money, owe her more, and have nothing left over. So, Lance, tell us what happened.
Well, it really is true. I have I don't make a fortune, but I make a good living. And I can tell you this. When you have a W-2 that prints a certain amount of money and her attorney gets a hold of that, that attorney got her so wound up that she could get so much money from me. Now, there's other factors in that W-2 that, you know, that go beyond what I make in my net pay. So those are bonus money that you, and it's very complicated. And Adam did a great, Adam had to, I mean, we had to spend a lot of time getting through that. Having said that, though, our attorney said you're entitled to over $8,000 a month. That's net. And she came over to me and said, you better get your shit together because my attorney says I get this. And I'm like, there's no way that you get that from me. And she goes, well, I don't care what you say. That's just what I get. That's what the computer says. That's what the court says. That's what you're going to pay. So, and that's it. And I just, I'm absolutely just panicked. I mean, there's no way I could do it. I told her that, listen, if you try and do this, I mean, your whole life is it is determined on if I can pay you that money. If the judge says I got to pay that money, I'm going straight to Cabo. Become a full-blown alcoholic and timeshares. Okay, you're not going to ever find me.
It was actually it was more than you were earning, right?
Yeah, I was not making that, and so then we had to fight. How much time we had to spend to get that, Adam?
Oh,
I mean,
God,
it went through there.
Nail.
It was brutal. But that was her attitude going in. She knows what I can pay her, but her attorney goes to her. And this is the whole point. When you go in, when you get finally into that battle mode, it's not like, oh, yeah, we're just going to work it out and we'll just split everything up. But once they get an attorney, the attorney will tell her, you're entitled to this. They don't let go. They feel totally entitled to getting everything they can get. And that's what they did.
Yep, Tom, you remember that line, you know, do you realize how much you're giving up?
Yes. And by the way, you know, I've been divorced more than once. And more than once, the person I was with said to me, I don't want anything. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out. And then later, after she meets with the attorney, they have a consultation. She comes back and she said, you know, I talked to my attorney today. You know what he said to me? Do you know how much you could be getting? Do you know what you're entitled to?
What you're giving
up? Do you know? You know, you're getting off easy because he told me what I could get.
Well, she took
what she could get. That's exactly what she told me that he said. That's exactly what she told me that her attorney said. This is what he said I get.
Well, isn't it natural for an attorney to say something like that? You know, let's bring on the fight. I'll get you more money. Think about it. Now, what was fascinating in our case, Lance, and this is off the charts. You've got to tell the guys this. We had one hearing, Tom, where she was saying that she needed money immediately. Now, we were working on, you know, exactly what she was going to get, but we were going to have another hearing in a couple of months. And she was saying, her lawyer was saying, that she's out of money and she has to get a check immediately or she's going to starve, that she doesn't have money for food that day. And so the judge gave her like a few thousand dollars on an emergency basis. And the next day she was on a plane to the Virgin Islands with her boyfriend. Isn't that right, Lance?
And I have a copy of it. I have a copy of the picture because I have her email.
So she actually posted on Facebook pictures in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah,
okay.
The next day. And here's the thing. And Adam, remember the whole story? I was in there in the court. And then when I was in there, I got a call from my pool guy that my house was had been ransacked. And the Metro Police were coming in, and I had this complete disaster going on. And Adam goes straight to the judge and says, my client needs to go take care of his property, this and this. He's got a disaster because I was going to have to explain this whole payroll thing, and Adam's going to have to do this big fight in front of everybody. She stands up in the courtroom and goes, no, I want it done right now.
Can you imagine? Ming the Merciless, okay?
Wow.
Lance is telling me in my ear, oh, my God, my house is being robbed, okay? So I say, Lance, get in your car and go. Go to your house right now, okay?
That's what you said. You said, leave right now. I'll take care of this.
Right. So I tell the judge, you know, Your Honor, we can't proceed. My client's had an emergency, and this greedy fucking bitch says, I don't care. We're going forward right now. I want the money right now. Isn't that sweet?
Where was the judge when she was saying that?
The judge couldn't believe it. The judge said, well, there's an emergency. The judge actually understood. He said to me, you know, like, you know, I'm not supposed to lie to court. The judge said to me, Mr. Sachs, is that the story? Is that what's going on? I said, absolutely. His house is being robbed. He had to go. The judge said, well, he wasn't excused to go. I said, I'm sorry. It was an emergency. He had to go. So the judge said, okay, we'll take an adjournment. We'll continue this and do it in a couple of weeks. And she starts howling. I got to get money right now. And her lawyer starts saying, if she doesn't have money, she'll starve to death. She'll have nothing. She'll be in the street, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, she goes to the Virgin Islands. So she must have had those tickets in her purse, okay, when she was sitting there in court lying to the judge like that, okay? And Lance was a guy who had given her everything, had taken care of her, was trying to have an amicable divorce. And that shows you, when he was at a low point having his house burglarized, she didn't even care. She wasn't even interested, okay? That's the cruelty of it all.
Why am I not surprised by this?
Why are you not surprised?
I'll tell you, when they're done with you, they're done with you.
I did confront her on that, and she said, I never told the court that.
Well, it must be my lying ears, I guess. Yeah. I must have imagined the whole thing. But, Lance, one of the things that we talked about, one of the big lessons, right, was file first, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And none of this Mr. Nice Guy bullshit, okay? I got guys calling me all day long telling me, Tom, oh, it's amicable. Don't worry about it. We worked everything out. She's being really reasonable. We're just going to sign everything off. It's no problem. And the answer is bullshit. Bullshit. She has a world of TV shows, magazines, her mother, her friends, her sisters, and they're telling her, and her lawyer, more important than anyone, man or woman, doesn't matter, is telling her, you go for it. You get every dime you can. And when she says, well, I know my husband only makes $6,000 a month, the lawyer tells her, fuck $3,000. You go for the whole six. In fact, go for eight. Go for 10. Why not? What the hell?
Jesus.
Exactly what they did. And that's exactly what they did. And we did we filed first in a little mediation room and did all that and tried to work it out. And then all of a sudden her friends start chirping at her. And then her family, and then her boyfriend, and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, she's like, well, I'm getting screwed. And here it comes. And then that's it. It's game on. It'll happen every time. I never thought it would, but it did. And it was tough. It was very brutal.
And your kids, your kids were all grown up, right, Lance? You didn't have any,
yeah, they're grown up.
Right. So we didn't have a custody fight. And what's your approximate age? I'm trying to remember.
52.
So what do you think, Tom? We're always talking about the boys, right? We got guys calling 22, 24, 26, got married too young, fighting over kids. Here Lance is at, you know, the peak of his career. He's working hard. He's given her a great life. They've raised a family together. The kids are adults now. Everyone's okay. You think she could just be a human being about it and say, look, you know, we can't get along anymore. We should get divorced. Give me half the things and we'll part ways. Uh-uh. She had to be crazy and psychotic and unreasonable and unfair. And you see that even if theoretically she was trying to mediate with him or whatever they were doing, it's never, ever going to work. One way or another, it's too overpowering. Women are too greedy. They're too influenced by too many different things on the outside telling them to go for the gusto. And they start thinking desperately. I've got to get every penny. This is my one shot. If I don't get it now, I'll never have another chance, blah, blah, blah. And every woman who calls me always tells me, oh, my husband's a millionaire. He's got money stashed. He has accounts in the Cayman Islands. He's got all this extra stuff.
I have a bunch of money stashed, by the way, too.
Yeah, by the way, right?
All around. Yeah, by the way.
So millions of dollars everywhere, Tom. And once a woman starts thinking like that, they get crazy. There's no talking them out of it. And here, the poor guy is having his house robbed, and she won't even give a two-week continuance because she's got to get money today because she's starving. And meanwhile, what she's really thinking about is her trip to the Virgin Islands, which is, you know, the plane is leaving in a few hours.
And getting more Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, well, naturally. I was in court today with another woman who was carrying on about how broke she is, and I had never actually met her, and she came into court today. This is in Los Angeles County, and she had one of those very expensive bags from Chanel, one of these $4,000 handbags.
Yeah.
Miss Broke spent a whole 2 months of child support on a handbag. So you see how it works. Anyways, any last words, Lance?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, too. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it was a dogfight with her attorney because he was signing on that, you know what, we're going with this, we're going to the match, and we had to power play them. And I mean, Adam stood up. He confronted the judge. He asked for a new judge. Remember that?
No, yeah, of course.
He was not very happy with that. And he said, "Hey, well, the fact that you gave her that money when my client was running out of town to secure his property sends the wrong message. We feel that you're being impartial and blah blah blah." And he stepped that back, and that gave the other attorney a real message that, "Hey, you're willing to go to the mat for me." And that's what happened. So it was good, and things. And then finally, we got to recalculate the earnings and got the number down to a reasonable number that we could both agree on, and that was good.
Which, by the way, kinda, I'm sorry to say, is still plenty of money, but at least it's at least
money,
semi-rational.
But, I mean, it is what it is. So in California, that's why I'm saying when you're ready to get married, you better watch out. Because they will get it. And I've worked hard all my life, and now I'm giving a lot away, and it's tough to do that. So, just plan and prepare.
Amazing stuff.
Get ready to fight when you have to fight, too.
Absolutely. And don't be a pussy when you're getting a divorce. You can't be a pussy, because the minute you show any weakness, as Adam will tell you, the minute you show any weakness, you're going to lose.
And I could tell that attorney was testing you the whole time, too, Adam, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He was looking at you.
Who was gonna blink?
Yeah, and it was good. I mean, Adam stood up right to him and said, "Let's go." You know, and here we are. We had our whole team around us, and he was just ready to do his old good old boy thing and, you know, work something out. And we had nothing to do with that. I mean, we were there to fight, and that was really good, Adam.
No, I think when, you know, in my commercial we say, Tom, you say about me that never give up and never run from a fight, and I put that into practice. And let me tell you, you know, I don't know how many lawyers would look into the face of the judge and say, "You know, Your Honor, you've been biased and I want you disqualified." Okay? That really,
that was awesome.
That's really that was asking for it.
That was really good.
Yeah, man. They look, I believe having been through the mill four times.
Jesus, Tom, four times.
You got to have balls.
Craig, glutton for punishment.
Got to stand up. You got to have balls.
Jesus.
Yeah, because
it's been a long time since I got married. A long time.
Unbelievable.
Been a long time. Lance, thank you for your story. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Lance. Thanks very much for calling.
There he goes.
That's a real person, okay?
Understood.
I can't explain this enough, okay? I mean, here's a guy in his 50s. He's worked his whole life. He was so good to this woman, Tom. He, you know, okay, so the marriage didn't last forever. They were together for a good 20 years, okay? They have adult children. Why can't they get separated, divorced with some fucking dignity? Why is that so hard to imagine? That's such a stretch. And she knows his financial circumstances. She knew she was asking for something absurd. And she didn't care. That's the craziest part. And we were talking to her in the hallway. He was talking to her. And he's saying to her, "Why are you doing this?" And I have to tell you, I don't even think she knows. You know when women say they're not happy and you say, "Honey, what's wrong?" And they don't fucking know. Or they say, "I want something, but I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. Something's bothering me, but I can't explain it." This is what we were dealing with.
Do you want that in your life? I'll bet her best friend knows what's bothering her.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she knows every detail.
That's right.
And how your sex life is and your inadequacies and where you're this bald spot and you only have one testicle and you don't know how to do oral sex on her. Her gay friend knows everything.
Not only that, her friend knows everybody she fucked in the past, everybody she's thought about fucking in the recent present, and everybody she's going to be fucking in the near future.
Right.
So all these people who think that their spouse is their best friend, that is the biggest line of bullshit.
Let me tell you something. Tom, for Christ's sake, her best friend is her best friend. What a bunch of fucking baloney. I cannot believe that women write this in personal ads all the time. I'm looking for my best friend, you know? I want my best friend. Are you joking me? You as
Take
a man.
Take out your smartphone and call her up.
You're never going to be her best friend. It's not even on the list, man. Wake up, guys, please, for Christ's sake.
And she's going to report every detail about you, from how much money you make to how small your dick is. Her friend is going to know everything.
You know, Tom, you know pocket dialing? You know, like when you're calling
ass dialing, yes.
Ass dialing, okay. I was talking to a guy who was telling me something that his girlfriend put the phone, I guess, in her ass pocket or whatever the heck it was, and it dialed him, and he overheard her talking to one of her best friends about him, and he just couldn't fucking believe it. I mean, cruel observations, you know? Every little horrible thing, and just magnified. I mean, she really described him, and she was telling him on the phone, but because the thing was, she had just called him, you know, and then she called him again by accident. And in the phone, she's saying, I love you, honey. Good night, honey. And then she puts the phone in her pocket and is talking to her friend what a loser he is. And he's terrible in sex. And he doesn't make enough money. And he doesn't have any ambition. And she just went down the fucking list, man.
Right? But the one thing she doesn't say is that she won't get out the fucking door. There's the fucking door, lady. Why don't you just fucking use it? What does it say about you that you stay with a loser like that?
Unbelievable.
I would say anyone out there who thinks they've got a loser for a husband or a boyfriend, tonight is the night, darling, to pack your things and get the fuck out.
Tom, I'm sorry, Tom. That's every woman. What are you talking
about?
Are you kidding me?
I know.
Okay.
I say it all the time.
Did you ever see Married with Children, okay?
Many times.
The whole point is dad is this lovable loser, but he's our loser. What can you do, right? And the daughter, the smirking daughter who's what, 14, mom's a genius, right? The daughter's super smart, and they're sitting there looking at each other. It's a little in-joke. Oh, God, what has dad done now? What a fool. What an idiot. Mister who pays the mortgage and gives us everything we need. Let's make fun of him some more. Okay? I know it's fiction and it's TV, but, you know, it imitates art, right? Life imitates art.
I think with some people, Married with Children was a documentary.
Oh, dear. And what's that other show, Everyone Loves Raymond? How's that any different?
I didn't see anyone who loved Raymond on that show.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone loves Raymond paying the mortgage is what they like.
They all
okay?
talked about what a piece of shit he was.
Yeah,
that's
no
all
shit.
They ever
and
did
his,
on that show.
And his parents, too. That's the best
Hardy
part.
Hardy har har. Yes.
He's got these two Italian... Oh, there you go again, Dino. He's got the two Italian parents giving him the constant wave of criticism of what a moron he is and how inadequate he is in every way. Okay?
That's right.
Okay, I don't know what man in his right mind, if he understood any of this, would sign up for it. Okay? And I challenge you, any guy who wants to come with me to family court, any day of the week, you're welcome to walk the halls with me half a day, and you see what the hell is going on, you will not get married. You will be hysterical. You won't want anything. You'll never have sex again, okay? Anyways.
Wow.
Maybe not the last thing.
Can you use a smartphone camera in there? Can you make video of any of that
stuff? They get very touchy about that stuff.
Oh, that's a shame.
There's actually some guy who brought a camera into the Supreme Court in Washington, and he got big
trouble. I saw that. Ooh. But he was some kind of loon, wasn't he?
He was some kind of activist.
He was like, wasn't he like, don't tase me, bro, then?
I love that guy. Does anyone ask to get taken out?
I didn't do anything.
Don't tase me, bro. Does anyone ask to be taken out that way anymore? That's a great one.
Oh, by the way, the other day,
there he goes.
We got the uncensored version.
Fuck off, man! I didn't do anything. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I didn't do anything. Ow!
Oh, jeez, that hurts.
Ow!
Now, Adam, I don't know if you noticed.
That's terrible.
I don't know if you noticed, but since we came to the internet world, we've been playing the censored version we used to play on the radio. We didn't even notice.
Oh, well, there we go. That was uncensored, all right.
That's the uncensored.
Meanwhile, I was in Fullerton Court this week, so it made me think of our old Fullerton police style. It's another good one.
Yes.
Another little tasering gag.
Oh, yeah.
But listen,
I know.
Tom, there's a life lesson. I feel like, you know, on some level, you and I could be misinterpreted and we're being negative or we're misogynistic or whatever, and I don't really feel it. I really feel that there's a life lesson here, and I am not taking the same two guys on the show every week. Okay, the people that we have had on the show that were my clients are a cross-section, and Mr. Lance tonight especially, okay, is a guy in his 50s, okay? He's in a completely different place than your average whatever, you know, demographic Likas listener, 18 to 25 or whatever, okay? He's an older guy, and yet it resonates the same. The woman has the same attitude, the same greed, the same stupidity, the same narcissism. This is really how it is. Maybe how it's always been. And so guys have got to be really, really careful and really aware of it. That's the
you
best,
know what's amazing, Adam?
Thing.
And all the time you and I have been doing this show together,
yes,
we've never gotten one guy calling up and defending marriage or defending his wife or saying that we're wrong. It's interesting because I think the guys know that what we're saying is true. They know that's the way it is.
I think women know.
Well, women definitely know.
Women are the ones who
crack that whip and make us married.
Well, you had someone defending the girl in New Jersey today, that she was right to get the money. So anything's possible. I think if we hold out long enough, Dino's going to get a call from somebody out there somewhere, and the wife is standing there next to him, making sure he makes the call. He's going to say, "Oh, marriage is the greatest. I love my
wife."
Tell
him, honey. Tell him.
He'll say, "I want to get this guy alone with a beer, okay? Then we'll talk."
Exactly. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Your questions about divorce. This is free legal advice for you, okay? So you can call them with your questions about divorce. If you're thinking about getting divorced or you're in the middle of one, Adam doesn't prefer to do it this way, but maybe you need him to come in and fix your bad break job, as we say, meaning some other attorney screwed up your divorce and you need help. You call this number, 901-3000-TOM. Maybe you're getting taken to the cleaners, or maybe you're afraid of getting taken to the cleaners. You got questions about vaginamony or child support. 901-3000-TOM is the telephone number. Maybe it's about a prenup or a postnup. Or maybe you're worried about child custody. Who knows? Maybe you've got a restraining order. And we do love those. 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
We've been encouraging some of the small and medium-sized businesses out there to advertise on our show because radio has pretty much let them know they're not welcome with really high prices on their commercials. And our friends at Kelly Controls, they heard our call when we said, hey, small and medium-sized businesses, step it up. And here's Kelly Controls for all your industrial, electric, and system integration services throughout California. You just call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. Now, Kelly Controls specializes in PLC, automation, SCADA systems, variable frequency drives, instrumentation, and process and motion control. Kelly Controls can help you complete your project and get your equipment up and running quickly and professionally. All you have to do is call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. You got that? 661-294-8000. Or you can visit them online at kellycontrols.com. And let me spell Kelly for you. K-E-L-L-E-Y controls.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show, especially on Gin and Juice Wednesdays. Dino on an angry gin drunk can only be like a complete mess.
Oh, I'm really getting
ugly. I mean a complete mess. Holy shit, you are just about to witness something.
Destructive.
Want to get the kids out of the room? Because Dino's about to get down.
Yep. Gin mad. I'm gin mad.
He's not laid back. Smoking Indo, sipping on gin.
And I have no money to have my mind on. So that's out.
Guts, glory, stupidity.
Motherfuck.
The Gary and Dino Show.
And that's just fine.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Laid back. With her mind on the lack of money and the money on the lack of the mind. Or whatever I said.
We're proud to introduce New World Investigations as one of the newest P1 supporters of the Tom Likas Show. Now, you know, you've heard me talk about how important it is to have a good attorney, right, boys? Well, it's just as important to have a good private investigator in your back pocket. Terry and Josh at NewWorldInvestigations.com have been in business for over 30 years, and they're ready to help you, your business, or your attorney with insurance claims, witness statements, locates, surveillance, asset checks, executive security, and much more. Need a thorough background check on your wife, your girlfriend, a new employee, or maybe a business partner? They have got you covered. Now, these guys are experts with former federal investigators on their team. And even though they're based right here in Southern California, they have trusted partners all over the world, and they even speak Spanish. New World Investigations, always ready to take care of Tom Likas Show listeners, no matter where you are, 24/7. Check them out today at NewWorldInvestigations.com. That's NewWorldInvestigations.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000 Tom, this is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. This show is live, if you're listening live. Tuesday, the 4th of March at 6:40 p.m. on the West Coast, 9:40 p.m. on the East Coast. And we are talking with family law attorney Adam Stanks, who is here to answer your legal questions. Free legal advice for you. What do you got to lose? 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number.
Thanks, Tom. What a way to put it.
Well, but, you know, a lot of people, you know the deal. They're afraid to call in. They're afraid they're going to get tongue-tied, or they're afraid they're going to be wheeled into something that they don't want to be wheeled into doing.
Something they can't back out of.
Well, it's just a phone call. It's just asking a question.
I think you're awesome, Tom. I got guys that are afraid of you. Seriously.
Oh, I know that.
They say, if I say, come on the show with me and Tom, and they go, oh, Tom's going to rip me a new one, man. I can't do that. Oh, Likas is going to be mad when he hears what I did.
Have I ever ripped any of the guests you've brought on here, Adam?
You have been so gracious to every guest you've ever had, even ones you really didn't agree with. I remember you had this woman who got into one of those Nigerian scams.
Yes.
And she had sent $1 million of her own money to Nigeria, and she thought that she was related to, like, the prince or something. And
yes.
You were so patient with her. You were so kind to her. That was amazing. I don't know how you did it, Tom. I give you a medal.
Well, yeah, because when people are guests on the show, it's like having someone as a guest in your home. You're asking them to come in and tell their innermost fears, thoughts, or opinions or whatever, and I think if you beat the shit out of them when they are, you wouldn't do that to a guest in your home, and you wouldn't do it to a guest on a talk show.
You know, you
at least
me.
I would.
Don't you remember that there was one that was on CNN that gave this chick a hard time, and then the chick committed suicide afterwards? Remember, she was a guest on the show, and then she was accusing her of being involved in this murder or whatever, and the woman killed herself afterwards. She was so upset.
Talk about, yes. Jenny Jones.
No, Jenny Jones got a guy to kill another guy. Remember, she brought a guy on that was gay or whatever, and the guy kept coming on to the straight guy, and then afterwards he killed the guy. I mean, you know, a lot of these shows are like kind of attack shows, and you know, Tom, that a lot of those talk shows, the people come on under a false pretense. Like, they're told they're going on the show to see an old friend or to get a makeover, and then it turns out it's like a completely different thing, and it's the husband cheating or whatever.
Well, that happened to me. I was on the show is now defunct. I was on the show produced by Dick Clark, and he was also one of the hosts. It was called, what was it called? The Other Side, The Other View, I forget. It was on NBC in the afternoon.
And what, they attacked
it
you?
It was Dick Clark and Mario Lopez and Danny Bonaducci and somebody else.
Oh, my God, I know the show.
The Other Half.
It was for guys.
The right side has the same number of letters as the other half.
Danny showed me the show. He showed me a couple of episodes. I didn't know you went on. Yeah.
I was on that show. And what they didn't tell me was when I came on, they had juiced up the audience, which was mostly women, to attack me. And
oh my God.
They had a guest on who was given advance information about me. But I was not told who the female was that I was opposing. So when I came on, she knew all these things about me to use as ammunition.
And I didn't know who I was talking to.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't tell me who the guest was.
Oh, no. It's your ex-wife.
No. It was one of these typical talking heads who's on every talk show all the time. Anytime they need a female, she's on. And she was one of these people. But I didn't, if I knew who the other guest was, and I knew the idea was to take shots at each other, you know me, I'd have been prepared. And so I told them after that I would never, ever be on another show produced by Dick Clark Productions, and I would never, ever be on another daytime talk show on NBC. I was done.
Wow. That's dirty pool. That is dirty pool.
Well, that's how they played it, and the idea was to make a fool out of me. That was the idea of it. And they were lucky in the middle of the production. I didn't just take the microphone off and walk out, but they'd probably be thrilled if that happened. It would get a lot of press. So I actually considered, but didn't do it. I actually considered walking out during a break. So there'd be no scene. There'd be nothing to show. Everybody would be out of their chairs, getting their hair combed or something, and I would just bolt out of there without anybody noticing.
Wow.
But it's bullshit.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, when I have a guest on the show, everybody is treated fairly. Nobody is surprised. We tell everybody what they're in for, what it's going to be like, answer their questions, so that when they come on, they know what it's going to be like, and they and usually we don't even confront guests. Usually people come on, and they expect to be confronted, and then they are pleasantly surprised that they're going to have fun.
I think the bigger question now, Tom, seriously, and this is something that I was mentioning before, is that I don't think it even works with foreign women. And so the truth of the matter is there really is nothing in it for guys to get married. It's not a joke.
No. Well, I've been telling guys with foreign women, don't marry them. They've got a 6-month visa at most. They're having sex with you because they want a green card, but they also want to appear to be marriage material. So they will fuck you. They will cook for you. They will tell everybody what a great man you are and how fabulous you are. And you'll meet the family, and they'll all say how wonderful you are. But the trick is, when that visa is running out, she's going to start turning the screws. And that's when you have to tell her you don't think it's working out, or you just bolt. That way you got like 4 or 5 months of free pussy, and then you don't have to pay for it. In the end, she's expecting you to have to pay.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to pay. I want to get what I got to get. That's it. I mean, why in the world would I want to marry somebody who hardly knows? Well, first of all, why would I want to marry anybody? But why would I want to marry somebody who hardly knows me, who I'm going to be obligated to support? If things don't work out, I'm going to be obligated to pay for their welfare, their food stamps, their EBT, whatever they might try to claim. But why would I want that?
Well, the thing is that, we had talked about it as a real option, that the criticism we had of women, we were saying, was North American women, and it was American women, American-born women. And so I don't know if you're supposed to marry a foreign woman, but we were trying to say.
Well, there's a difference between the women you meet. When you are on a trip, let's say you're on a trip and you are in, pick a country, Colombia. You're in Colombia. I've been to Colombia. You're in Colombia. You meet a hot chick there. And she had no intention of moving to the United States. First of all, I wouldn't marry anybody. Let's just say that. But I think you're going to have a much better result with someone who doesn't have a visa, doesn't have any pressure. To stay in the United States. Maybe he doesn't even want to come to the United States. You're going to do way better from that situation than you are if you have somebody who is a waitress at a restaurant in West Hollywood and is living as a roommate to somebody and has 6 months like supermarket sweep. They got to go get as many canned hams into the cart as possible.
Oh, God.
They've got to get married in 6 months. And so they work as waitresses by day or by evening. By night, they tart themselves up and they just fuck one guy after another, hoping one of them will say, like they're taking home a stray cat, oh, why don't you come home with me? Why don't you move in with me? Why don't you move me on your roommate, move in with me. They're hoping that's going to happen.
The thing is that I think that guys don't necessarily want to be on the hunt their entire lives. You know, there is something wrong with it, Tom. When you talk about your average woman nowadays who's, you know, divorced or whatever, she's in her 40s or 50s on the market looking for a guy, straightening her garters and fixing her hair and going out trying to, like, meet somebody. I mean, you know, does that ever end at some point? And if you're, you know, living this single life, I think a lot of guys think, you know, there's a lot of time and energy put into this that they don't want. And so you're trying to find alternatives. But the guys that I know that have married...
If you do it my way, you're not investing any effort at all. You're saying, I'll meet you after dinner. Let's have a drink.
Yeah.
You're not moving them in. You're not taking care of the kids. You're not helping them in any way. There's no effort involved at all.
Yeah.
In fact, if you've got three, four, five of them as plates spinning at the same time, there's really no effort for any one of them. So when one of them has your period, one of them is cranky, one of them has to work late, you just call one of the other ones.
Yeah. I just think that a lot of guys are trying to get some kind of stable thing where they want to have someone that they're used to or someone that maybe if they don't love her or whatever, at least they're kind of familiar with her or they, you know, have common whatever. And the idea that this certainly doesn't
work. I'm trying to get the Easter Bunny to come to my home at a Sunday in the near future.
I think the odds are against.
Well, I'm trying. Tired of going without jelly beans. I need to have an Easter egg. I need to have the Easter Bunny come over and service me.
Oh, God.
All right? Not likely to happen, though, is it?
Well, the problem is that it had been presented for a long time, and I definitely talked to a lot of guys that had at least fantasized that somehow it was different somewhere else. And what I think the truth is that the U.S. culture is so seductive, it's so sexy, that it swallows you up. And even if you brought a woman from Colombia, even with her values and the things that we've always talked about, she will become completely Americanized within a few years. And in a lot of ways, you're opening yourself up to even more trouble, such as this guy that I mentioned that the wife wanted to go back to her home country.
By the way, I'm willing to bet many of these women don't even know they have you over a barrel. Many of them don't even know.
They come to figure it out.
They might. But I think a lot of them don't even know it yet. Now, they could easily find out, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't become ingratiated into our culture. A lot of them don't speak enough English, don't meet enough other people. Or if they start getting surrounded with American female friends, well, then you're going to have a problem.
Well, a lot of times, and I saw this, for example, they talked about this with Russians, is that they go to some of the cultural centers in, you know, the big cities, and so they start hanging out with other women, friends that are Russian because they want to speak their language and so forth, but they hook up with them and start hearing from them all the possibilities of how they can, you know, stick it to the guy. And with the domestic violence laws being what they are and all these protection laws, there's all kinds of tricks they can play, and they can be very well helped by the legal system, I'm sorry to say.
Let me get a call in here. Walker in Los Angeles. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Nice to talk with you and Adam. First
hey, Walker.
Time, long time. Here's the question, and I'll give you the background details. The question is, is it possible to be successful to get spousal support from the ex-wife? I was married 26 years and 55. She makes a ton of money together as a company. As a couple, we made a decent income. And since 2009, after 26 years of marriage, it was finalized in 2009. I have made less than $30,000.
All right.
Since and she makes well over six figures. And so I walked away from the house and took out a loan to send a kid to college. I mean, I'm doing all the things I shouldn't be doing, but I've been giving this some considerable thought because I haven't been able to afford health care. So I went overseas and I had this diagnostic test done. They found a cyst on the liver, a cyst on the kidneys. I come back here. The whole Obamacare thing is taking place. I get health care, but now here's an out-of-pocket nut of about, you know, $300 that wasn't there. And so, I'm thinking, you know what? You know, she's making a ton of money. Why not go in there? Why not fight and see if I can get spousal support? So 26 years of marriage, finalized in 2009. What do you think my chances of being successful going in there and seeing if I can...
Before you answer that question, may I ask this question? How much so-called spousal support did you ask for at the time of the divorce?
didn't ask for a dime, Tom.
There we go.
You see, I don't know why it is. First of all, you know, that it used to be called alimony, and Tom Kidson calls it vagina-money. But the truth of the matter is that all of these words were made gender neutral in recent divorce law, because it is possible for a high-income woman to pay alimony, or whatever you want to call it, spousal support, to her ex-husband in the same way that men had always paid to women. And what you just described is perfect, Walker, for that. We're talking about you earning a lot less than her and her earning a lot more. What's amazing to me, and time again, when it comes to child support also, when I talk to women, women are like telling me, get every penny you can get. I want everything. I want every amount, highest possible, etc. And guys do not talk this way. Guys are like, well, I don't know. I don't want to get alimony. I'm not a loser. And what's amazing, Tom, is guys won't even go for child support. That's amazing to me, which is not the money for them, but it's for the children. And, you know, when a woman believes she's entitled to it or the law's on her side, she goes for the gusto, and guys won't. And what's scary about what Walker just said, and Walker, you'll have to call me off the air or whatever, and we'll talk about this. But
sure.
It sounds to me like back in 2009, when you were getting divorced, I don't know if you had a lawyer, but it sounds like you may have waived alimony, not asked for it, and it may be too late to get it now. I don't know your circumstances, but if you go into court and you don't ask for it, there are certain circumstances where you no longer can ask for it because you waived it. But what's amazing to me, and maybe you want to explain this, why didn't you go for it? Why didn't you ask for it? What's the shame in asking for it?
It's mostly the emotional guilt trip.
So what?
There were some things done on both sides. I did some things. She did some things.
So you fooled around. So what?
Yeah.
See, Tom, remember you gave the example, Tom, with no fault divorce, that you walk in and your wife is fucking your best friend, and it has no legal consequence. She can do whatever she wants. Nobody cares. It's not going to, you know, help or hurt the case for her. How come it is that this guy, I don't know, whatever you did, Walker, God help you, he wasn't the perfect husband. So what? A woman will still go for every penny, and guys are like, oh, I feel guilty. I cheated on her. I'm not going to ask for anything. She can have the house. It's like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's amazing how greedy women are, and in the face of that, how men are just the opposite.
Yeah, definitely bowed down on that one. So I'd like to see if I can retrieve something. I've somewhat recovered. Still not making the same income. You know, still struggling, but at the same time, I'm okay. You know, I still have a retirement from the job that I had when we were working together. But at the same time, I'm realizing, you know what? She actually came up. She actually did. With me walking away, she's getting the house. She got the appreciation on the property. And I take on $30,000 of college debt for my child, which, you know, I'm making the payments on that, but at the same time, you know, they caught me at a very vulnerable time, and it'd be nice to hear that it might be, you know, worth the fight or worth the round two and go back into the courts. So,
all right, we'll take a look. We'll take a look. But I'm just saying, it's fascinating, and I'm telling the guys out there, if you're in this situation, just go for it, okay? Get yourself a lawyer and get as much as you can, because she wouldn't hesitate for a second if the shoe was on the other foot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Wow.
What do I say, Tom? Is it amazing?
I know. I talk to these guys all the time, not in this context where they're asking for legal advice, but where they're making these life decisions, and that's the kind of life decisions that guys make, and it drives me insane.
Yeah, but a woman wants to cut your balls off.
Right.
It's amazing.
But that's what I'm telling them all the time.
Unbelievable cruelty.
Yeah.
Seriously, look how cruel this woman was to Lance. And it's like there's no talking them out of it. But what's with these pussy guys? They're like, well, I guess I could. I don't really want to. It's like you're throwing away thousands of bucks, friend. You got to be out of your mind.
Unbelievable.
I've had guys tell me I won't take the money from her as a matter of principle.
Jesus Christ. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with our final moments with Attorney Adam Sachs and your phone calls as we continue.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups, top-quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking-on-air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer and faster. Harder. New normal rock.
Your brand name is important to you. So it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at SlamDunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. Adam, if guys want to get in touch with you and engage your services, get you to stand up for them, how do they get in touch with you?
Give me a call, and I answer my own phone at toll-free 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com, or check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. I'm even on Facebook. Yay.
Oh, look at you with the Facebook.
I think, Tom, they suspended me for 14 days, I think. I can't post anything.
What did you post?
I put something offensive, apparently.
On your page or mine?
No, it was mine. Don't worry. I just burned myself.
Understood.
I think I'm allowed to look at Facebook, but I can't post or something. So what can you do?
You were going to Facebook jail.
It's not the first time it's happened to me, and I think it happened to you a couple times, too. So
yes,
don't give
yes.
me that innocence bullshit.
My one-year anniversary is coming up, as a matter of fact.
Excellent.
By the way, you know Adam is here every Tuesday. We have a bonus hour with Adam every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yay!
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beers. Beer Magazine, the teenager who filmed himself fucking a Hot Pocket and posted it on Twitter, has been banned.
Banned from what?
From Twitter.
Oh.
And Vine. They don't allow that.
I've looked lovingly at a Hot Pocket, but I've never actually had sex with one.
I thought you looked lovingly at the dude fucking it.
No.
I was going to question you for sure.
But I have with the Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
Delicious. They really are good. I have a whole case back here.
Yeah. It's actually pretty funny, you know.
It's
got 420 retweets.
Yep. he even says.
That's what he said, by the way.
I thought it was so
fucking funny.
Yeah, he said it.
He said he tried doing it without a condom, and it was just way too hot. And then he put it in the fridge for a little while.
Yep.
And then he said he was going to use a condom.
He had to chill it.
Actually stick his dick in it.
Yeah. He chilled it. Before he did it.
Apparently the dude works in a restaurant, which is not reassuring in any way, shape, or form. Just saying.
Telling you. Anybody, never mess around with anybody that's serving you food, man, ever. Drive through, waiter, waitress, be cool.
Right.
Or you're going to get a hot pocket.
Exactly.
From our friend.
Just not cool. Doesn't make me feel good.
Well.
Deputies say a mother held a man accused of having sex with her daughter at BB gunpoint.
Wait.
Yes. Yes. Apparently, she caught the guy having sex with her daughter, so yeah. She held him at gunpoint with a BB gun. It was consensual sex with her 15-year-old.
But doesn't seem like our friend was very happy with the situation.
No.
So, mom...
It's a big, fat mom with a BB gun.
Yeah. That's a big, bad mama.
Right.
She instructed her
eldest daughter, 29, to grab her gun. It was a BB gun, but he didn't know that.
Nope.
Until officers arrived, the mother held her black long-barreled unloaded BB gun at the dude.
By the way, there's a whole there's video of the whole thing. It's incredible. Basically, the mother's been filmed holding her daughter at gunpoint. BB gunpoint.
BB gunpoint.
They had to basically make the video bigger to protect the identity of the underage girl.
Mm.
But I guess the whole thing is caught on tape. It's pretty funny.
Right. NBA star Andre Drummond says he did not leak those pictures of the R. Kylie chick, McCurdy.
Yeah, pretty hot, actually.
Oh, you like it.
Well, our girl's getting pretty grown stuff. And she said that she kind of implied that it was him that did it. And by him meaning the NBA, so yeah. He says, come on, it's not me. I didn't leak any photos of the chick. And, of course, she takes her Twitter and basically implies that it's him. Please.
Right. This out of the UK from a broadcast historian who claims that women need to sound more like men to succeed in broadcasting.
A lot of women on sports radio do sound like men.
Yeah.
So
the historian says that power in TV and radio is with men in suits and deep voices. So the broads need to step it up.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them to become a man, but all right.
Right.
Deep voice, start smoking, Trevor.
Yeah. And you have to be hot looking, by the way.
Yeah. By the way, I'm telling you, it's basically sports radio in a nutshell. Every disgusting chick with a terrible voice there.
Right. I can't stand any of them.
It's terrible.
Can't stand any of them.
It's not a good one, man. It's tough.
Yeah. That New Jersey housewives couple has pled guilty to fraud.
Wait a second. You mean tell me?
That Joe
Judice?
Judice? Is that how you pronounce his
Judice.
Last name? Judice?
Judice.
Judice?
Judice.
You knew they were in deep shit.
No shit.
So they just
pled
guilty.
Let me get this straight, just so I know. A bunch of wops up there in North Jersey committed some fraud.
Yeah! That's correct.
Big shock. The real shocker is they got caught.
Shocked.
Stoop. Oh, no.
Dude's real name, by the way, Giuseppe. His real name's Giuseppe. How fucking more wop do you get than that?
It's one of my middle names.
Right.
It really is.
I know.
Son of a bitch.
All right. Go ahead. Give everybody your phone.
No,
please.
I don't want
to. Go ahead.
Giuseppe is my middle name. But our friend Joe Judice, man, him and it's not even alleged. They didn't pay the money.
No.
They frauded it up.
Bank fraud, dude.
Yep. Not alleged. Wait a minute. Says it.
Wait a minute. Giuseppe is your middle name?
Yes. Well, one of his middle
names.
One of them. Yeah, he's got there's a long string of them.
I got four.
Yeah.
What's the J for? Not Giuseppe.
It is, but it's Joseph. See how he goes by Joe Judice? I do the same thing. Nobody calls Giuseppe. They say Joe.
Just checking.
Real.
Done.
Oh, you thought you were going to catch the G and a J thing.
Fact checking.
No. Nope. No, he thought I was going to be, I was going to walk into it and not say G. But Giuseppe is Joe and Joseph or J.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys.
Yeah.
And that,
so you are Joseph or Giuseppe?
It's really Giuseppe, but I'll say J. I don't even say Joseph. I'll just say the letter J. In fact, if you look all around, it just never
Tom, when you hear, didn't Dino explain, like, the history of his name and, you know, what happened in
Maybe
his childhood
that
and that whole thing?
Our show.
No, I think we just talked about this here the other day.
Well, Tom doesn't like Italians, so
he's too there's an effort to unwop the whole deal.
Yeah, and when I was seven, my parents tried to unwop me.
Try to unwop him.
So you were Dino, but you became Dean.
Correct.
Right. And the Giuseppe became Joseph.
Joseph, yeah. They felt it was too ethnic, very ethnic. It was. They thought it might hinder my progression.
Well, now we're trying to return to the real
wapness. The real wapness. Judge Wapner's coming back to the bench.
They don't think Dino D'Amelio is ethnic?
No, it was too ethnic. So they started just saying Dean.
So it was Dean J. D'Amelio.
Right.
He wants to go back to Dino Giuseppe.
My real ass motherfucking name.
Right.
Yay! So Dino G. D'Amelio.
Yes, that's one of them. Yes.
All right, let's not complicate this anymore. Yes,
how
he's got
possibilities
more.
I have four. Four middle names.
What do you have? Like, you don't have one of those like one of those confirmation names or something.
Exactly.
Basically, like the father and all the way back on the father's side, like four generations. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the way the Italians do it.
Sorry. It was super WAP. When I was born, man, it was super WAP city, man.
Yeah, gold chains and everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
I came out.
Lapa, Lapa, ding dong.
White scooters and all the deal.
I wish that wasn't a clear, Timson. That Lapa, Lapa, ding dong comes along every once in a while.
Did not get it.
Too bad.
Oh, finally, a pick alert for you. Nick Nolte and Courtney Stodden at the Night of 100 Stars
I don't
Oscar
know if I'm
viewing
clap
party.
Over this.
Oh, come on. This is one of the best pictures ever. This is a freak show.
By
it
way,
doesn't get any freakier.
No, it doesn't. And isn't Nick Nolte the basically Hall of Fame of all mugshots, right?
Sure,
he's the mugshot Hall of Fame.
He's just certifiably insane. He was a guest on the Tom Likas show from the Playboy Mansion back in the day. It was awesome.
I love Nick Nolte.
Looking into his eyes, you wonder
like
what
Gary
the
Busey
hell is
to
going
me, though.
On there. Oh, that's right. It was Busey that was on the show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Gary Busey with Courtney Stodden.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm confusing
you. You're
totally
messing me up. Thank God I looked. Yeah, basically our friend
Busey and stuff.
Gary Busey.
Not Nolte and stuff.
Gary Busey 100% did the Tom Likas show. You're correct. At the Playboy Mansion.
Correct.
And he's one of the greatest.
I'm mixing my crazies. I'm mixing my crazies up.
You know what? He should maybe come back. I don't know
he
what to talk about.
He should change his name to Giuseppe. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
But I'll say Jay and everybody will get confused.
There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
The letter J.
Be sure to check out our podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas show right after this.
You know, winning huge money has never been easier than right now at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy sports site. No matter what your sport is, college or pro basketball, baseball, even golf, DraftKings is awarding huge cash prizes this month during March Millions. Now, they say a guy named James Tran won $1 million already in one day. One day fantasy sports means no season-long commitments, no being stuck with players, just instant cash, instant gratification. Right now, you can play for free to win real cash at DraftKings.com up to $200 million. That got your attention, didn't it? Pick any sport, like college basketball. But hurry, the madness has already started, and free spots are going quick. Enter Tom101 at DraftKings.com before Friday for your free entry. That's Tom101 at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
This is the new normal.